There's a story in the Sun Crimes on December 14th. Will and probate case of Chicago recluse's record-setting $11 million unclaimed estate allowed as evidence, judge rules. Okay, what did I just say? It says here, Cook County probate judge Daniel Tiernan decided to admit a mysterious will that is purportedly the last will and testament of a guy named Joseph Stankak, a frugal, secretly wealthy Southside resident. They've allowed, it says here, the judge decided to admit a mysterious will that is purportedly the last will and testament of Stankak into the probate case that will ultimately determine who gets the money. The decision leaves in limbo more than 119 distant Stankak relatives around the globe who'd been expecting a portion of the proceeds before the will surfaced over the summer. I wondered what Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney who's good at wills and estates, thinks about this. Hey, Carrie, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm terrific, John. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Yeah, you too. You know this story, right?
I know this story, and I read the story. I talked to one of the lawyers in the case, so it's clearly a very, very, very unusual set of circumstances. The will surfaced very late. The will allegedly was executed, it appears, out of state, and it also appears that this gentleman probably never traveled out of state, allegedly. So you're right. There's a lot of questions here, and you know, the litigation is really just gearing up. But the fact that a will surfaces approximately 7 years after somebody dies, and the circumstances of the alleged execution of the will, meaning the signing, is just really, really, really difficult to swallow.
Well, fresh my memory, then who does the will say is supposed to get the $11 million?
The will, I believe, you know, I don't recall, John. I think it goes to two different people and or one organization.
Yeah. But it would seem to me like it would seem to me that if I make a will out, wherever it is, doesn't there have to be a witness to it? Put it this way, is there a system that sort of connects the passing of an individual with their will wherever it is? If I make a will out and don't tell anybody, maybe the intention in the will never be realized. But isn't there a system to, I don't know, when somebody dies, doesn't it go into some database and it connects to the will wherever it is? I don't know how that works, Carrie.
Well, it doesn't work well, and we're trying to change that. So in this circumstance, the law requires under the Illinois Probate Act that the will be witnessed by two people at the time of its signing. Most lawyers use, you know, two witnesses from their office and a notary. So they actually have a third witness, although the law requires two witnesses under the Probate Act. And there is no system currently, John, for connecting the decedent to the will. As chairman of the Illinois Supreme Court Elder Law Commission, though, our commission has proposed that there be changes dramatically in this regard, unbeknownst to, you know, not tying it to this case at all. But we've recommended to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is on the verge of recommending, it appears, to the legislature. We suggested, and I suggested, that original wills could be ultimately, and this, you know, it's not the law, it's a proposal, could be filed, the original will, with the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah.
With Alexi Janulius. And so when you go and get your license renewed or get your license plates, in theory, under our proposal, you'll be able to deposit your original will. So when you die, your family or your lawyer can go to the Secretary of State's office and get that original will instead of not being able to find it, or in the case you're talking about, having a very suspicious will surface 7 years approximately later.
By the way, you are right. There's two parties that lay claim to this in the will. One is an organization called Smart Kids Child Care, Inc., and the company's president, Asad Mahmood. And there's a death, there's a plane crash, there's a lawyer. So it's suspicious, if nothing else, only because it's so curious. I don't know who's supposed to get the money or what the intent was of this reclusive engineer who died and left $11 million. But I like your idea. Are you suggesting, though, that a paper copy of it be retained by the Secretary of State, or simply that some sort of electronic copy be retained?
Well, under the current law, it needs to be a paper copy. So it may very well be that, you know, once we get this passed, that we can change it to an electronic copy, or we can, you know, change it entirely to an electronic copy. But right now, the law requires that an original document, paper you can touch, feel, see, smell, so to speak, is filed with the clerk of the circuit court that the person dies in. So, you know, Cook County downtown and Kane County out in Geneva and so forth. And that's what the law is at the present time. But a lot of people's wills are never found after they die.
Sure.
So this is a proposal to completely change that process.
Brenda and I made out a will. I don't know where it is. And if I would like the option, so maybe the Secretary of State doesn't have to retain it because of privacy issues. It's none of the state's business, maybe, although it kind of is. But if they said, check this box if you want your attorney to electronically transfer your will to the Secretary of State's office, with, I would 100% do that, Carrie.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great suggestion, John, and as always, you're right on the ball.
Yeah, he didn't mean that. All right, let's do this, Carrie. Maybe you've got a question, too. 312-981-7200. Illinois, maybe America's premier elder law attorney about these sorts of issues, as well as, you know, power of attorney, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, that sort of thing, is on the phone. If you've got a question for Carrie, he'll answer it right now. 312-981-7200. Remember, you can just call Carrie Peck at his office, and the initial consultation is free. You can call Carrie Peck at his office for free initial consultation. They'll tell you maybe what you got there. That number is 312-201-0900. Can you take a couple of calls with us, Carrie?
Absolutely.
John, you're on WGN. How can we help you? You're on the air.
Hey, John. Good morning. Real quick. Question. If I were to file a will with the Secretary of State under this law, and I were to go to my attorney and update the will, he hadn't yet filed it with the state, is there a provision within the law as to which one's going to take precedence, even though I filed a newer one with my attorney?
Yeah, it's a proposed idea, but how would you handle that, Carrie?
Well, you always want to get the last document in, the most valid, you know, the most recently created document is the, and it's going to be incumbent upon the lawyer and the individual to get the Secretary of State the most current document. I mean, we can easily see where Secretary of State might have an old document and you've done a new document. So we're going to have to reconcile those issues.
Right.
But this is basically a safekeeping method to make sure that we don't have the kinds of problems that exist in the case that John's talking about and reported in the newspaper.
But so you're not so concerned about where it is what the date on it is. As long as it's legit, then the most recent one would be the one. Is there a statute of limitations on wills? Like if it surfaced 15 years later, especially if the funds have been dispersed, I mean, what are you going to do then, you know, to the wrong people?
Well, there is no statute of limitations, but, you know, if the will can't be found and the estate is probated, meaning it goes through the court system and the estate's closed, then that's going to be final on it.
Oh, okay. But then the will surfaces, but it's already gone through probate. Then the will doesn't have any power left, right?
I would say that's correct.
Might be a case for a judge or a jury. Let's talk to Chris. You're on WGN. Chris, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Good afternoon, actually. We had a little situation. My dad had a small stroke, not debilitating. I also am in healthcare, so I'm aware of the health issues. However, he now, and my mom's in a nursing home because she has severe health issues. Well, now we've got a girlfriend who's coming over, taking phone books, taking items, and, you know, it's you know, now we're down to changing locks and doing stuff like that. And obviously he's definitely hurt by this because he feels he can make his own decisions. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my toes, we're giving him full rein, but he really can't.
Chris, are you worried that this new girlfriend of your dad is going to change the will or somehow get him to change the will?
Yeah, I'm worried about everything. Yes.
Carrie, how often have you heard of a story like this?
About a million times, John. And I would say, Chris, immediately get in there and immediately take action. This is a screaming red light. And if you don't want your dad to be taken advantage of, you need to get in there and do something about it now.
The options are what? I mean, how can you safeguard the dad's will or estate or health care or locks if he says
well,
no?
If you believe from your toes to your head that your father is not competent, then I strongly recommend you consider filing guardianship to have a legal determination made that he's not competent so that he can't do a new will and leave everything to the girlfriend. This is a very common problem. It's an epidemic coast to coast. We litigate these cases every single day.
Carrie, if the dad is competent, but you know, boy, that's kind of a sliding scale, isn't it? But if he's sufficiently competent to make a decision which is so inconsiderate or just wrong-headed, but he's going to do it, he gets to do it, right? The kids may think, Dad, this lady's scamming you. But he gets to be scammed if he so chooses, right?
Competent people can make bad decisions, John. So regrettably, the answer is yes. And the kids are going to have to get in there and try and persuade Dad that, in fact, he is being scammed.
Okay. Good luck to you on that, Chris. You're not alone. This is Jim. You're on WGN. Jim, what can we do? Last call, Jim.
Yeah, I had a pretty strange thing happen. When my father passed, we presented his will, and they would not accept it because it was written and not typed. We had it notarized in that, but they said that with the state that they wouldn't accept it because it was a written will.
What state, Jim?
Illinois.
Okay. Carrie, what's your thought about that?
You know, the term, fancy legal term is holographic, meaning written. It has to comply with the law. So, you know, were there two witnesses of sound mind and memory? The document needs to say that the individual was of sound mind and memory and was observed to have to be signed by the two witnesses at the time, plus generally a notary. If it doesn't have that particular language, it won't be accepted.
Okay, but if it does, then a handwritten, maybe there was more than one flaw with this will. A handwritten will, if it complies with the other components of the law, would be valid. Is that right, Carrie?
That is correct, John.
Carrie Peck is the elder law attorney in Illinois. PeckRitchie.com is the website. We don't have time for all the calls. 312-201-0900. The initial consultation is free. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Peck. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much, John. Happy holidays to you, Brenda, and your listeners.
Yeah, we got a lot of them.